there's so much power in people being seen in their stories and people listening to stories. And then I discovered, okay, that's actually a real need. So, okay, how does that translate to a career?
Hey, friend, it's David Nabinsky here in Brooklyn. Here at the Portfolio Career Podcast, we help you take ownership of your portfolio career and design the life that you want to live. Today's conversation is with Genevieve Kim. Genevieve is the founder and creative director of Triangle Flash Studio and the Global Photography ICU Project. She is the author of a new book called Yes to It All, a collection of stories through her travels as a photographer in search of hope and meaning. In this episode, you'll learn about storytelling, how stories are prevalent in everything that we do, how to communicate your story, the art of reinvention, and how to pivot, why Genevieve wanted to write this book, how you can work on your own branding as someone who may be working on multiple things. As always, this episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. There you can subscribe to my newsletter called One Email Away, which has the best insights from the podcast and friendsource job opportunities. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Here we go with Genevieve. Genevieve, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Well, I know we're kind of, before we got started, we were chatting about a lot of fun things about New York and some ways that we've kind of connected and stuff in the past. But I did want to talk about, since it's a dark and gloomy kind of day here in New York, I think photographs and photography have a great way to kind of spark imagination. And I know we'll talk about photography because I know it's something of significance to you. But I don't know, is there a recent print or a recent photo that you took that was beautiful or so that makes you happy, or yeah, any recent photography kind of work that just kind of makes you smile on a dark and gloomy day here in New York?
On a dark and gloomy day. Well, I can tell you one, it's not recent, but I will say one that I absolutely love. It's, there were these children that were playing with bubbles. We had brought toys to a refugee camp and they were just blowing bubbles. And for whatever reason, you know, like my camera, you know, it just, I was like, okay, I'm just gonna, you know, photograph like the bubbles. And there was just one that stayed in the sky. And it was there enough. It wasn't, you know, completely effervescent, but it stayed there and it was like poof, right there. And so it's a good memory. And I think we all have, you know, these, it's like sending up, the bubbles are like sending up wishes to the sky. So I hope you are all in New York or wherever you're listening from, you're sending bubbles up into the sky.
Oh, I like that. bubbles into the sky. And maybe, I don't know, maybe there's a metaphor there around, maybe there was a bubble into the sky around writing a book. Maybe it started off as an initial kind of idea and it came out into the world and stuff, but it's an interesting synergy and overlap there. But in your book, you talked about how it seemed like photography and being kind of encouraged to shoot photos and stuff was a spark at one point in your life to follow your own curiosity and like your own interests and stuff. Maybe can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I've been photographing since I was a little kid, and I just thought it was one of those things you do for fun. You know, it's like a side thing. And I was in business school at the time, getting a real, I hope you guys can see and hear the air quotes I just did, a real job and a real degree. And I was very much depressed. And just a little background, I have had suicidal depression. And so for me, I was, you know, I wasn't quite at my lowest low, but I was there. And I went to see a psychologist and they told me, you know, they was like, do you want to get up for anything? It took me, I mean, I honestly couldn't, because I just didn't want to live basically. And I said, yeah, maybe I'd get up to do some photos. Just like take a few, snap a few. And then that was the therapist said, why don't you go do that? Just your assignment is just to take a few photos. And I said, really? What? That's my assignment. I mean, you're not going to have me journal like 100 years worth of like child trauma. You want me to photograph? And that was all the permission I needed, essentially. Yeah.
All the
Which
permission
is not, it's not the serious thing to do, right? Air quotes, serious, real, like real job.
but it gave you permission to and what do you think that kind of led for you? I mean, what do you think it kind of turned into, or how do you think that permission really kind of started to get you on a different path?
It was the permission to listen to what the little girl always wanted to do. And for me, the little girl was always artistic and creative. So when I was little, I mean, I made my own clothes, I wrote stories, and I was writing poems. And I knew that I wanted to be a singer on Broadway. So my university degree was actually, a dual degree. One of them was in music. So I studied opera performance. And then the other was in literature. So I just thought, sure. And then I think it became more and more clear that the little girl in me was impractical, naive. The little girl had no idea what it meant to be an adult. So basically just shut her up. But I think there was always that yearning and that desire to express myself. So I think, and I think we all have those things as kids. We have these little inklings, and it's not because someone told us. I don't think anybody, put me into a position where like, yeah, you have to write stories. I just loved it, but I didn't really give myself the permission.
And so you started telling kind of stories through photography, and it seems like it led to some projects for you, and then probably started a business and stuff too. So I think that's really cool too. It's just this idea around kind of a project, or just like a personal interest can turn into projects, and then from projects it can turn into to new things. It seemed like that happened. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and just for a little bit of filler for those, I did end up getting a job after graduating from grad school, and it was in consulting. And I'll just say storytelling is in everything that we do. I mean, Dave, you're doing it right now. And stories in everything. And I think I got a lot of refinement in consulting, actually, into the way that I thought about stories, because pitch decks are everything, and they are stories. But they just weren't the stories I wanted to tell. And I, after being there, I quit my job, and I just decided to really come back to that space of, okay, I'm still depressed, but I do know that I still get up to photograph. So maybe this is something that I really need to explore. And so I put in my 2 weeks' notice, and I didn't have a net. I had no, backup plan or anything other than to explore. And by net, I mean, I didn't have, say, like, 10 years worth of savings saved up. I had no net, but I knew it was either that or remain unhappy. So I decided to pick a different path.
Yeah. How do you think people or what ways do you think about like improving storytelling? If it's through either film, through writing, like is there certain either like resources or like mental models or stuff that you kind of think about as to like, okay, here's how I'm going to kind of process the input, so to speak, and then kind of turn it into something great? Is there Yeah, or there's a different like resources out there that you're like, okay, this really like stood out to me as like a really powerful way to think about stories.
It's very interesting. Like I think from a theoretical perspective, I would say story is having a hero's journey slash heroine's journey. And that is essentially overcoming a challenge. And what is the transformation that happened in order to do that? Now, there really are no new stories. There's good versus evil, right? I mean, that's just, or it's, heartbreak. These are just themes that we know of the human condition. So you can read a lot on, actually, Joseph Campbell has, you know, he talks a lot about the hero's journey, and you can read all, a lot about it. But what I say is, come back to a place of our lives are stories, and every single day something happens and there is a story. So I'm going to bring that down a little more tangible. Okay. So David, I'm just going to ask you, when you were having breakfast this morning, did you have breakfast?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So can you tell me what was going on through your head? Oh, like, what were you thinking during breakfast?
Yeah. So my call it breakfast story is
You don't have to have a story, by the way. I just want to know what you were thinking.
Okay. What I was thinking. Okay. My thinking was, I am going to have Athletic Greens, and that's like my kind of morning routine as a first thing that I do. And then after that, like 20 or 10 minutes later, I then have something of substance after that. First substance, I had, I think, 2, maybe 3 Perfect Bars, which I love. So that was my breakfast.
Okay. That was what your breakfast was. The question is, what were you thinking over breakfast?
About the breakfast or
anything, but what were some of your thoughts during breakfast?
Thoughts were about, you know, this conversation. It was about work. It was about like, how do I want to have something that's healthy and kind of quick, so to speak, or efficient.
Okay.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts around work?
My thoughts around work were like, what do I need to get done? What's most important? What can I push forward on? Yeah.
Okay. And what were you thinking during that time?
What are those things? What are those actions? What are those little like tasks, so to speak?
Give me one in particular.
One in particular is I'm working on a conference in a couple weeks, and I need to find a speaker or two.
How's that make you feel?
It makes me feel there's work to do. There's you know, figuring out who I think might be the right person or two for this topic in mind. And then trying to think about how, like, do I have their email address? If I don't, how do I get it? How do I make kind of my invitation to them appealing? So it feels fun, but it's work. Like, yeah.
Okay. So over breakfast, as you were creating your healthy greens and downing 2 perfect bars, you're wondering how in the world you were going to get 2 speakers at your conference.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's the beginning of a story, right? And people are like, yeah, how are you going to do it? And that's the thing, is like every single moment of our life, we are partaking, and to quote Shakespeare, all the world's a stage, right? And we are the actors, or, you know, sorry, Shakespeare, I didn't say it in ye thou, but you get it, right? And yeah. And that's the thing, is we take it to a very, very basic level. The framework is pick out a very fine moment, like a moment in your day. And it doesn't have to be extraordinary out of the blue. It's actually the ordinary, right? That is what we understand from the human condition, right? We're experiencing, everybody's having breakfast. Everybody's having thoughts a million miles a day about like, oh shit, I have so many things to get done. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get it done. And that's relatable, right? And so that is the crux of story for me. And I think that's also why I was so drawn to, I was yearning to understand other people. I was yearning to learn and somehow connect with the world outside of me. And I could do that behind the camera, right? I could kind of be invisible while watching everyone else. And eventually I was like, oh, okay. Well, wow. What, there's so much power in people being seen in their stories and people listening to stories. And then I discovered, okay, that's actually a real need. So, okay, how does that translate to a career? It's like, well, it's a need. And that is career worthy.
Yeah. And it seems like just level it up to the people higher and higher, like potentially companies and stuff that are willing to like pay for something like that too, right? There's maybe if you photograph your roommate might not pay you money, but if it's a large corporation and like the stories really mean to them, mean something to them, or to the photos really mean something to them, then they'll put, you know, a different kind of value on it than somebody else. All right. So that's about stories. Another thing that I think is a characteristic or a trait of yours is around kind of reinvention, pivots and reinvention, and helping other people reinvent and pivot themselves. Talk to us a little bit about like leaving New York, moving to, I think first it was Austin, and moving to Austin and figuring out, okay, I'm gonna start something new. I need to, you know, kind of rethink about how some ways that I'm going to, ways I'm going to work. So talk to us a little bit about maybe shifting locations and then also shifting some of the work that you're doing in the beginning of kind of 2020, spring of 2020.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, so my life has been one pivot after another. I think that my life is a testament that you, it's never too early, never too late. I went from being an opera singer to then, an, you know, a yoga instructor slash then a yogi entrepreneur. If that's if, like, how do you even have those two words in the same sentence? Then I went, you know, then I was in a management consulting, blah, blah, like the list goes on, pivot after pivot. I'm not even talking about all the side hustles that I was doing. Somehow I got, you know, a management consulting firm to hire me. They asked me on, you know, the one of the interview panels, they said, so what are you going to bring? And I, you know, I was just like, them knowing my background, you know, as a former yoga studio, yoga center manager and co-founder, they were like, what are you bringing? And I was like, lots of flexible thinking. You know, I was just like, okay, like, you know, cheesy, okay, little dad joke there. But the truth of the matter is that we all have assets. We all have, you know, backgrounds that are rich with rich, and it's just a matter of seeing how that can help others. And so the first time I left, I quit my job actually about 2016. I followed my instinct. I really followed my instinct and knew that there is a potential to photograph. And so I ended up photographing for UN Habitats, and it was all by way of just being there and putting myself out there. There's one book called Put Your Ass Where Your Heart Is. I think it's by Stephen Pressfield. And he talks about moving and getting to where you want to be. So for example, if you're a screenwriter, like, hello, go to LA and be around the people that are, you know, also sort of where you can collect peers who are there too, doing the same things, or be where you want to be. So the reinvention part one is, I think it's a mindset of figure out like what are the skills that you have, and not trying to tailor them to fit, you know, another a company, but knowing what skills you have, where do your gifts belong? Not where should you try to prove that they belong, but really where do they belong? Because they should be used in a way that matters, right? These are your gifts, they're your babies. Where do you want them going? And so for me, I knew that, okay, well, what I do know is I love storytelling, and I have this, you know, desire, this ability to connect, and I have a love for travel. Okay, all right, let's do some photojournalism. Great. And then after that, fast forward, I ended up creating a creative studio slash agency and doing video and photography. And then the pandemic hit. And when that happened, I thought, okay, I've been in this boat so many times. I was like, I know that there are a lot of people freaking out. And again, it came back to this mentality. What do I know that are my skills, and where do they belong? Well, they belong to helping my friends right now. So I started this workshop called Your Badass Bio, which is essentially helping people write a bio. And I just wanted to help people, because I've had to rewrite my story how many times to get a job, or, you know, prove that I could do it. And this time it was like, no, you are a badass. So when people read your story, you can talk about yourself and you know it. And then you allow what career or whatever or craft to come to you instead of it forcing yourself into a box. Did I answer the question?
Yeah, totally. So this, how do you say it? Badass bio workshop?
Yeah. Badass bio workshop.
What do you, for someone that's like trying to revamp their, call it LinkedIn or their about page or, you know, a place where a bio may be for somebody that is, call it a generalist, works on many different things, maybe has, you know, is there, you know, one thing that they should think about or one thing that they should do?
Yes, absolutely. It is this. Talk to one person. Really. Talk to one person. And the reason is that people want to know that you're looking, you're having a conversation with them specifically. The other more practical reason is the more you talk to many people, the more people are like, oh, wait, she's not really talking to me. So I'm just going to like start having another conversation somewhere else. That happens at dinner all the time, right? It's like one-on-one. You really get the attention. So how does that come down tactically? I have to use a little miniature case study of this. Is when I was in grad school, I noticed there were, during the recruiting cycle, we had some of my peers, they were, you know, very focused. They were like, yeah, no, I'm just only going for investment banking. Or they were like, oh, I'm just going for consulting. And they stayed there. They did that. And then you had the other folks who were, you know, apply to this one. I'm going to apply to this one. And I'm going to apply to this one. And I'm going to go across the board. And I have to say, the ones not as a, it's a general statement, not like this is fact that this is going to happen, but the ones who sort of spread themselves out, they ultimately, you know, they started to struggle at the end. And that's because one, it takes so much more energy and effort, practically speaking, to rewrite your cover letter for someone. And it also, if you're trying to write to everybody in one cover letter, you sound like you don't really care. Nobody wants that. So it's a matter of time. And it's also a matter of demonstrating passion. So my advice is go for what it is that you love. And it also makes it very easy for people to talk about you and say, oh yeah, you need a really good graphic designer. Oh, that focuses on pitch decks. Okay, great. I know this person. And versus if you said, oh yeah, you know, I know this creative and she does everything and blah, 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 blah. And you want the person who is specialized in what you're looking for. And then not just because it's easy for people to find you, but it's easy for people to talk about you as well. And great branding is, what are people saying about you when you're not in the room? Oh, she does everything. Oh, she did. Yeah. You know, she's just great at everything. Yeah. She should definitely talk to her. Versus, I know the perfect designer for you. She has 30 case studies on her site. Like, you should just check her out.
Boom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. Talk to one person. Wow. That's incredible for just like thinking about, yeah, like your LinkedIn. Just like, I don't know. It's just like so profound. Like, there's always times we kind of want to generalize or talk about a lot of the different stuff. Like, oh, I used to do this, or I have experience in this. And it's like, but who are you really trying to communicate with? Like, do you really need to communicate prior stories or prior things? Does that really help to the one person you're trying to communicate to now? I love that. That's beautiful and very actionable too.
Very actionable. Actually, it's a little difficult. And a little plug here, in November, I'm actually going to be doing a pilot where I'm going to do the Badass Bio workshop actually as a course, because I used to teach it in a 90-minute session. And now I'm going to do pilots to really break it down, because, you know, a 90-minute workshop, oh yeah, you get the outline, But then to deep dive into tackling into each single, like, okay, for example, this question, talking to one person, you're like, oh, do I really have to talk to one person? Oh, wait, but this, and then really just honing in, who is it going to be? Who is it? I mean, and it comes to what you were saying earlier, you were prioritizing over breakfast. Like, what is the most important thing?
Ah, look at that. Look at the way you weaved in that story. Love it. So, okay. So that's, and then kind of after this workshop, and I think, you know, you followed your instincts and stuff and wanted to, write your own book, memoir. And I know in the book, you talked about how you're not really a writer, but you're able to, you know, write, and now you want to convince other people that, and help other people write their own stories and stuff too. Maybe talk to us a little bit about, yeah, what were you, why did you think you wanted to write this story, and why? I mean, you could have worked on many other different things during the pandemic. You know, book writing is a long project. What do you think was like, you know what, I've got to do this?
So besides going crazy and not being able to photograph, et cetera, and being cooped up in my house, I think it came down to seeing so much of the exasperation that was happening throughout the pandemic. And for me, I you know, I know that there was a lot of difficulty and it was traumatic for some people, but for me, it was a really, like, I was coasting. And the reason I think I was coasting is because I had been through, not only had I been through suicidal depression and wondering, you know, what is tomorrow going to bring, and overcoming it, but I had leaped in my career multiple times knowing that I'd make it out on the other side. And it took me multiple times. Trust me, the first time I leaped, I was scared. Like, I really was. But by, you know, maybe the fifth time I did it, I just knew, well, we're all going to land on our feet. We will all land on our feet. I'm not saying we're all going to be millionaires. That's not what I'm saying. I am, and we can, but I'm not taking this lightly. I'm saying we will all land on our feet. And it may take a year, it may take a decade, it may take a month, but I just wanted to give people a little bit of that hope. So it started out in that sense. It was hope. And the other avenue is I secretly just want everybody's inner child to get a little bit of a permission slip. Not that you even need it, but hell, my psychologist helped me, gave me that permission slip. So I'm all about, hey, if you are miserable, I just want to give you a little bit of like a, hey, I'm doing it. I'm not extraordinary, by the way. I'm your regular girl who is just, hey, I guess my brother says that I'm naive. So maybe that's what it is. So I'm apparently not, you know, anything special. It really, we can. So if you need a permission slip, there we go.
Boom. Love it. And where can, Yes to It All, it's on Amazon. You can find it on your website too. Is there any other kind of places, you mentioned that upcoming workshop, is there any other kind of places you want to point people to go learn more and stuff? And if there's anything else you'd love to share, would love to hear it, Genevieve, about any of the things we talked about today.
So I do have a project that's coming out, and I haven't even shared this in my newsletter or on my YouTube. It's actually coming. I said, oh, stay tuned. So I'm giving your audience like this peek into it. Yes. So my mission for year 39, because it's coming, my birthday's coming up in less than a month, and I always have sort of my own New Year's resolution. And this year, my goal is to help 1,000 people get their story out. So if you have a story and you want to get it out, I have a writing circle that I am starting. And it's a safe container to start exploring. It is not an academic writing circle. So if you don't like writing or you have writing allergies, because I've had a ton of writing allergies. Okay. It's really just to express. And the reason I started this and why it means so much to me is that, and having written this book, Yes to It All, I have had profound transformation, deeper than anything I've ever experienced. And it was something that I was able to do with a pen, aka keyboard. And it's really powerful. And the other reason is that stories, they're what connect us. That's bottom line. Like, we're not going to have anything, but we still have stories from God knows when, like since the beginning of time. And if that's, you know, that's all we're going to have remaining of humanity and of our connection, either to our, you know, grandchildren or to our loved ones, even here and now in the present, then why not? It's the most powerful medium of connection I found to self and to others.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today, Genevieve. And what, is there, you said the YouTube and then your newsletter, that's all on your website, GenevieveKim.com.
Yes. GenevieveKim.com. That's it.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Dave.
Hey, friend. Thank you for tuning in to this special episode of Portfolio Career Podcast. Would love to hear what you learned and what you enjoyed. You can find me on Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, whatever is best for you. And as a reminder, I'm just one email away as well. This episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. There you can subscribe to my newsletter called One Email Away, which includes the best insights from the podcast and friend-sourced opportunities. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Thank you so much.